How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Matt Morgan. Welcome to That Time of the Week. Just to start off the show here, I would like to point out that last week I did make an error when I had said that, I can't think of his name now, Matt Stafford. I had said that Matt Stafford had retired. That is not true. Matt Stafford did not retire, so now it's Matt Stafford and Jimmy G. Yep, so, yeah, Jimmy G is the backup for Matt Stafford now, which is intriguing. I didn't think Jimmy G would be taking a backup job in many places, but, you know, there's that. And, Caleb, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good. So, what's all been happening with the NFL free agency, Caleb? Well, first off here, actually, let's start with March Madness. Did you fill out a March Madness bracket?
I did not.
You did not fill out a March... Do you know anything about March Madness?
No, I do not. I do not follow college basketball or basketball in general.
Neither do we, but, you know, we figured we might as well give it a shot. And right now, Scott has 12 points. I have 15.
Well, that's good for you. Did anyone else fill out a March Madness form?
Carrington did, but we're having problems getting to it for some reason. It's locked, and it won't let us look at it.
Hopefully she doesn't have more points than you. Are you feeling confident with how many points you have?
Well, I mean, my bracket does look pretty good right now. I won't lie to you. But, I mean, like, the right side looks very good. The left side looks okay. The issue is New Mexico lost, and I did have New Mexico going pretty far, which was a mistake. I should have put Baylor in. I don't know why I didn't put Baylor in there, but, you know, it is what it is. Stuff happens.
Sometimes you just gotta root for the underdog.
Yep. So overall, I have UConn coming out on top of the bracket. UConn, I mean, I don't know anything about basketball now, but I know that UConn was at the very least at one point in time the best college basketball, the best basketball college in the United States. So I saw UConn was number one, so immediately I was like, UConn back on top. You know what I mean? And Purdue, I also got Purdue in there because Purdue has apparently had an incredible year this year. So I figured might as well give Purdue some credit.
But what's happening in the football, in the NFL, free agents, the Steelers just traded away Kenny Pickett due to Kenny Pickett taking Russell Wilson and Justin Fields coming to Pittsburgh poorly.
Well, I mean, I don't blame him. So Kenny Pickett got traded away because the Steelers now have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And for those of you who don't know Justin Fields, I mean, I assume you guys know who Justin Fields is. Everybody watches college football for some reason. Justin Fields came from Ohio State. He was quarterback for the Bears for a while, didn't do too hot, got traded to the Steelers. But now he's going to sit behind Russell Wilson and hope that Russell Wilson can fix him.
I mean, I feel like they have two of the same play styles, don't you? Justin Fields and Russell Wilson?
I mean, I don't know. I think Justin Fields is more of a scrambler. Russell Wilson's more of an improviser. Russell Wilson would always rather... I mean, Russell Wilson would use his legs to create space, but he'd always rather take the pass. Justin Fields will 9 out of 10 times take an open run gap versus an open wide receiver. I think he's more on the realm of Lamar Jackson.
Well, maybe Russ can make him feel... like that the pressure is not there. He's probably feeling like ghost pressure.
I mean, I don't know. I hope he's... I'm not sure what the issue is with him, but I watched him miss a lot of, you know, just underthrew a lot of passes last year, like little short passes too. Underthrew him, overthrew him. Ran the same play twice, had it open in the touchdown, once overthrew it, once underthrew it. So, you know, you win some, you lose some there.
Mike.
What did they get for Kenny Pickett? They traded him for what, a sixth, third?
Like 2 7ths.
Man.
That's rough. I know. It's crazy.
So where'd he go to? Kenny Pickett?
He went to the Eagles.
I don't know about that. I mean, the Eagles got Jalen Hurts. I don't know that they need another quarterback, really. I mean, Jalen Hurts is... I mean, he wasn't the greatest last year, but he was still... he still performed well enough to carry me to the, you know, the fantasy Super Bowl, so there's that.
Yeah. Then Mike Williams made a one-year deal for $15 million with the Jets.
I don't know how I feel about that. Mike Williams hasn't been hasn't been prime Mike Williams in ages. I mean, Mike Williams was I mean, this I do believe last year he had almost a comeback season, did he not? Because he didn't get very injured. But usually...
There was a time where he was injured, and who was the other playmaker that they had? I know both of them were injured on the Chargers.
You're talking about... Man, I can picture him in my head. Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen. I drafted that man in fantasy last year. Keenan Allen was the best pick I had at all last year. Keenan Allen was fantastic. Man was putting up a solid of like almost like 25 points a week. We were doing good.
The Saints got Chase Young.
I did see that. So, I mean, I'm surprised that happened. I mean, everybody was so hyped because the 49ers had both Chase Young and
Bosa.
Yeah, Nick Bosa. So everybody was kind of hype about that, and then all of a sudden, you don't even get to really see them play together. They just kind of get traded.
Yeah, brought him in, tried to make a Super Bowl. Now he hit free agency.
Well, I mean, I think that the 49ers have almost been on a realm to do that for a while now. I mean, the 49ers, they have a lot of good young players. So, like, either the good young players have to take pay cuts to stay on the team so they can remain a good young team, or they're going to have to make some sacrifices, lose some players to hire the players that they want to keep.
Right. I mean, that's football. I mean, you can't pay everyone.
I mean, exactly. It's the same way for the Bengals right now. I mean, I know they franchise-tagged T. Higgins, and I do believe they franchise-tagged somebody else as well. But, I mean, like, all in all, like, I mean, eventually you're not going to be able to pay those people. Franchise tags are a lot of money. Like, you don't franchise tag lightly.
Right. Patrick Queen signed with the Steelers, got 3 years, $41 million. Very good linebacker. The Steelers, I feel like, made a huge play by getting him for... I mean, they did pay him quite a bit for a linebacker, but...
I mean, no, I don't think that's a good move for the Steelers.
You don't think so?
I mean, he's... like, don't get me wrong. Who was it again?
Patrick Queen.
Yeah. Patrick Queen is a good player. Don't get me wrong. I do like Patrick Queen. Came from the Ravens. Fantastic linebacker. But the Steelers already have Devin Bush, and they already have... I can't think of the other one's name, but they already have two solid linebackers. I don't see the reason of getting another third linebacker. Like, now they have three solid middle linebackers. Unless they're going to have them move positions in.
Yeah, move one out to the right outside or...
I don't know, but I think once you start doing that, you run the risk of wasting somebody's potential.
I mean, I don't think so. I think...
I mean, that's why the Packers didn't move Rashawn Gary to inside linebacker. Like when we first drafted Rashawn Gary, everybody's like, just move him to inside linebacker. You have a big gap at inside linebacker. And they were like, no, because then you'll waste Rashawn Gary's potential. And look at that. And he became one of the best edge rushers on our team.
I mean, right, but that's edge rusher moving off the line to go to middle linebacker, not a middle linebacker moving over right or left.
I mean, I'll give you that. There is a large difference between moving from a line, like an outside linebacker to a middle linebacker and vice versa. But, I mean, I think it would work better for him if nobody was moved anywhere and they kind of just kept their own positions. But, I mean... I think if they end up doing that where they switch somebody position to where they could have Devin Bush and then Patrick Queen and then the third guy again can't think of the name. I mean, I think that'd be good. They'd have a solid linebacking core back there.
How do you feel about Jordan Whitehead heading back to the Bucks? He was on the Jets last year. He signed 2 year, $9 million.
Safety.
Middle linebacker.
Jordan White. I honestly think...
No. I think he is a safety now that I'm thinking about it.
But either way, so, I mean, I don't think he's ever been... I mean, he's good. I mean, he's not bad. He's solid, but I mean, I don't think he's a huge move. You know what I mean? He's definitely a starter if a team that needs a... I think he's a safety.
He is a safety, yeah.
Yeah, so if a team that needs a safety, I mean, I think he'd be a solid starter, but I mean, I think he'd be a better backup than anything. I don't think Jordan Whitehead's ever been.
I mean, he had 4 picks last year, 32 assist tackles.
Well, I guess he was. I mean, I guess he was pretty good last year. Then I guess I just didn't hear his name often.
I mean, he was on the Jets.
That'll do it. He was on the Jets. The Jets didn't go anywhere. The Jets had so much hype with Aaron Rodgers, and then all of a sudden, 3 snaps in, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Jets hype season ended.
Yeah. The Rams got Cameron Curl for 2 years, $8.75 million. I feel like that was very cheap for how good he is and how young he is.
Cameron Curl?
Cameron Curl.
Oh, Cameron Curl. Yeah. He's good. He came from the Commanders, right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's... I mean, yeah, he is young. I mean, how much did they pay him?
8.75 over 2 years.
I mean, 2 years, they probably could have done better than 2 years, but I mean, it could... I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's good. I don't know why...
I mean yeah, maybe they just didn't want... He probably wasn't going to sign a 5-year for...
I mean, that's fair. I mean, he is young. He's probably just going to... I guess place a bet on himself, go to this team, do well, and then sign the big contract.
Right. Same thing what Marquise Brown's doing with the Chiefs. He just signed a 1-year, $7 million.
What is Marquise Brown up to? Marquise Brown ain't been good.
Right. So I mean, like, he signs this 1-year, $7 million contract. The Chiefs have always been able to play with fast wide receivers. I mean, he does have an issue with dropping the ball.
He's got those concentration drops.
But if he can just work on that, I feel like he'll perform with the Chiefs.
I do like him. But, I mean, I also think they have Mecole Hardman now. And Mecole Hardman, the way Mecole Hardman played in the Super Bowl, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, what are the odds that Marquise Brown ends up wide receiver one?
I don't think.
I mean, I think Mecole Hardman has a... I mean, I don't know. I think Rashee Rice has a fair chance. I think there's a 3-way right now between Rashee Rice...
Right. I think Marquise or Brown's going to be the outside, and Rashee Rice is going to be the inside player.
I think it'd be best off to have Rashee in the slot.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. That'd be good. Rashee's a solid slot receiver. I mean, that's
where he performs the best at. But the issue last year was they didn't have the depth to keep him in the slot, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, they had to call up Sky Moore from the practice squad for the... I think it was either the Super Bowl or the last playoff game. So the AFC... Yeah, the AFC Championship.
But a lot of this... I just feel like this is a crazy year with all the moving around.
I mean, there have been a lot of crazy off seasons, especially in the more recently even with like Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. That was like groundbreaking, and then all of a sudden, all kinds of veteran players started swapping teams. But yeah, I think this year, in terms of sheer, I guess capacity of who's being moved around, it's a busy off season.
It is. Justin Jones signed a 3-year, $31.16 million to Arizona Cardinals. And I feel like they overpaid. Who? Justin Jones.
Justin Jones.
A defensive lineman.
You mean... I've never heard of him. I thought you were talking about Chris Jones, and I thought you meant meant the Chiefs. But I did know that Chiefs Jones Chris Jones was signed to the Chiefs. But how much did they pay him?
$31.16 million over 3 years.
That's a lot of money to be paying a defensive lineman.
Yeah. He's...
How much of it's guaranteed? Do you know?
No, I do not know the guaranteed and what's incentives.
Caleb, I got a question. Who do you think's going to end up drafting the that quarterback who everybody's so hyped about? He's like the, I don't know, like...
Caleb Williams?
Yeah, people are talking about Caleb Williams like he's like the messiah of college football.
With the Bears trading away Justin Fields, I feel like that was them saying, hey, we're getting Caleb Williams. they didn't the Bears bring in Keenan Allen? Like, they're getting him some wide receivers to play with. But I feel like that's them.
I don't know. Saying, I feel bad for any quarterback who ends up at the Bears. Look at the lineup, Caleb. Look at the lineup. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, it's not the best landing spot, but the only other team I see making it would be, I think, who has the number two pick? It's Washington, right?
So, yeah, according to this, they've actually been quite, they've been quite busy. The Bears have building up a team here. They got they signed an O-lineman. They signed two O-linemen, three O-linemen.
Yeah,
see, four O-linemen.
They built in a roster for them.
They signed two or three defensive backs. Oop, looks like four. They signed DeAndre Swift on a 3-year contract. They did sign Keenan Allen, or they acquired Keenan Allen.
Yeah, through a trade for like a seventh, I believe, or a fourth. Sixth. A fourth.
Pending a physical. But yes, so if he passes the physical, fourth round pick.
Okay.
I mean, Keenan Allen was balling last year. I don't know. I'm surprised they gave him up for a fourth.
I
understand he's older now and he's injury prone, but you saw what he could do last year if he wasn't injured. Keep him healthy and he's solid.
But how many more years does he have on his contract? Is it like just one more year?
I couldn't tell you.
Because that's another thing you got to think about.
They also signed Gerald Everett, a tight end.
But I think the Bears learned their mistakes with Justin Fields. They got the quarterback, but didn't have a team around the quarterback. Now they're getting rid of Justin Fields, bringing in a brand new quarterback, and now they're building a team around the quarterback as well.
Well, I mean, I feel like a lot of teams overall, I mean, like, people like to say, talk about how, like, I'm a Packers fan. People like to talk about how the Packers are privileged because they have generations of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And I'm like, yeah, but you want to know what all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks have in general? We draft them. They sit there for, like, 4 or 5 years behind the current Hall of Fame quarterback. And then when that man retires or goes to a different team, whichever happens, the next Hall of Fame quarterback comes up. And it just, I mean, like, I don't, I mean, I'm not saying that Jordan Love is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, like, he played good last year, but that was his first year as a starter. I'm not saying that at all. But, I mean, I think that the art of developing quarterbacks, or not even quarterbacks, just the art of developing college players out of college in general is almost dead. They almost want you to come out of college knowing the game.
If you're a first round, you're getting some playtime.
If you're a first round pick, there's going to be playtime handed to you.
That's just how the NFL is. But you're right. I feel like the Packers do have the way to build a quarterback. They've shown it over the years.
And nobody else seems to get it. They're just like, oh, the Packers are so lucky.
Throw them in. They'll figure it out.
You ever wonder why the Packers do the quarterback situation differently than everybody else? I wouldn't say everybody else. I mean, they had, well, just about everybody else. Now that I think about it. I mean, look at it. Alex Smith, when he played for the Chiefs, guess who was sitting behind Alex Smith?
Patrick Mahomes.
Anytime you give a quarterback time to develop, he ends up being good. Tom Brady, best of the best in the NFL in recent history. That man sat behind Drew Bledsoe.
Jimmy G sat behind Tom Brady.
Yeah, so like anytime you develop a quarterback, they're just bound to be better than if you just throw them in there. Sink or swim is not a valid strategy in the NFL, I feel like. I mean, it works out sometimes, but other times you almost end up just breaking your player. Like,
you feel like you're putting too much pressure on the player's shoulders?
For sure, I think so. Like, I mean, like, I can't think of the dude's name, but years ago there was this dude who came out of college. He was a quarterback, like, before our time. And I watched a YouTube video about him, and he was... like, basically like the Caleb Williams. He was so hyped, and he was drafted first pick, and they put him in. And then I think he was drafted to the Raiders, and he was awful. And I think the first game he played bad, I think it just kind of got to him. I think that he, like, I think that he felt he wasn't ready to be there. And then once you tell yourself that you're not ready to be playing with the best of the best, it gets to you. And then at that point, I think he kind of almost
got in his own head.
Yeah, he subconsciously started throwing games almost, because he was just like, I don't deserve to be here.
I mean, yeah, that's... It's a lot of pressure to...
I mean, you... like, if you look at it this way. They draft quarterbacks with the intent of switching around franchises. You draft a quarterback with the intent of creating a franchise quarterback to usually fix your franchise. Right. And if not fix your franchise, stabilize it. You're putting that all on a kid who's 21, 22 years old, who's never played in the NFL a day in his life. I think you almost end up breaking your players a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the step from college to the NFL, it's a massive step. Like, you go from, like, feet and yards being open to inches being open.
I mean, even little things, like the ball size is different. Yeah, you can have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and it counts as a catch. I think the biggest thing, honestly, that players in college or in the NFL coming from college have a hard time doing is dealing with the time clock. The time clock doesn't stop in the NFL. After the end of the play, completion or not completion, it stops until you get back to the line of scrimmage.
Right. That is a big difference in the leagues. I honestly wish college and the NFL had the same set of rules.
I agree.
It would help developing the players much more.
I think the argument is that at that point you have to be like, all right, well, maybe we should look at getting high school players to play as the same role as they do in the NFL then. Because that way they can go to college and it'll be easier to transition there. At that point, you might as well start with JUCO ball. Or not JUCO ball, junior football.
Well, okay, I see what you're saying.
But yes, I do
go that far.
I do
with
agree
it.
With you. I think that, I don't think high school football, because obviously most of the kids coming out of high school are not going to make it to college. I hate to break it to you, but most of the kids coming out of high school do not make it to college.
And the most people, all the kids leaving college aren't making it to the NFL. It's just survival of the fittest.
Yeah, but I think that once you hit college, I think that the game should step up the level, and you should, I think at that point you should, well, I mean, I don't know, it's hard, because, I mean, I think the recruiting is always going to be different in college because of the way it has to be done, but I mean.
One thing I can't stand, though, about college football is the fact, like, if they jump, catch the ball, land on the ground, they're down. They can't get up and push the ball forward.
Well, I think that's to protect the players.
I mean, right, and I get that for, like, high school, but for college?
Also, sorry to cut you off, but this just popped in my head. So, recently I was doing some, I think I heard it on the Pat McAfee show. The NFL is thinking about taking the, using the, what's it called now? The UFL, formerly the XFL, taking the UFL's kickoff, so that way there's more exciting kickoffs.
Can you explain the kickoff rules difference?
Yeah. I mean, roughly. So everybody starts on the line starts in the
50 or the opponent's 45 or your 45.
They start on the, I think it's either the 35 or the 45, and then the kickers start like all like way back, and there's no such thing as a fair catch. But you don't get a run until the person has the ball. So that way there's no, like, you don't have momentum and then lighten up, bro, whose job it is to, you know, get the ball down the field.
I mean,
so, like, but, like, once he gets the ball, at that point, everybody's good to
come at him.
Yeah.
So you're still dead sprinting from probably 70 yards difference between each other, or 60. Depending if he's catching it in the back of the end zone.
I mean, yeah,
you're,
I mean, that's
still
true.
Like,
but I mean, the XFL proved that. I mean, like, the XFL, it works in the XFL.
What was the, like, concussion rate on?
I mean, I don't know, but probably, I don't think, yeah. I don't think you, like, I'm sure there are like statistics, but I don't think you could look at statistics of the UFL and the XFL and compare it to the NFL.
Right.
The NFL is just a whole nother speed level. Like,
it really is
a different breed in the NFL there. Oh, by the way, if you guys have any thoughts or comments on the NFL or the free agency or even March Madness here, go ahead and give us a call at 740-383-9944.
But that would be... The NFL's really, like, debating this because...
Oh, yeah, they're debating switching the kickoff rules.
because then last year, wasn't that the first year of, like, being able to fair catch it behind the 20-yard line and still getting the ball out the 25?
I couldn't tell you, if I'm being honest.
It just feels like they just moved in one direction, then moved in the opposite.
Well, I think it's because they're trying to, as Pat puts it, save the kickoffs. Because kickoffs are boring. Nobody really cares. There's not much hype in the kickoffs unless it's like the Patriots Jets game like this year where the kickoff literally determined the game because the Jets got the ball and managed to. The Patriots fumbled the ball, I think, something like that. I don't know, but either way, like the kickoff determined the outcome of the game because it was the last play of the game. And the Patriots tried to get fancy with it, and it just unfortunately did not work out for them. They ended up giving a touchdown to the Jets. I think that this is probably the best option to, quote-unquote, save the kickoff in terms of entertainment factor.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the kickoff is there and they're not just, like...
I mean, I'm sure they're going to have, like, safety standards and things like that. Because, I mean, like, that's just... I mean, the NFLPA exists, the National Football League Players Association.
Right.
So, I mean, they have to protect the players to at least some extent. I don't think it's any more dangerous than when they try to take it back. I mean, I honestly say that when they try to take it back now, it's almost more dangerous because, I mean, now once the ball's kicked off, they're going. Like, they're already heading toward you. By the time you got the ball, they're basically in your face. So if you decide to go, they could clobber you right then and there.
Right.
Which is why most of the time you get the fair catch. So I think this way... you even get an actual use out of the kick returner position. Like Keyshawn Nixon on the Packers. I'm sure there's other players. I'm just a Packers fan, so I Keyshawn Nixon is a cornerback for the Packers, and he's okay. We play him in the slot sometimes, but he's nothing extravagant. But he is an amazing... kick returner. He is on our team because he is the kick returner. Like, I promise you, if he wasn't the kick returner, I mean, he might be on the team, but
down there on the depth chart.
Yeah, like, he's the kick returner. So, I think a lot of things, like, you'd almost open up a whole nother position.
And that's what I like about the NFL with special teams. Sometimes, like, yeah, you are a wide receiver, one of the best in college, but then you go to the NFL... Well, you're not really that good at being wide receiver. You can make, like, put you on special teams, and, like, you can make a name for yourself there.
I mean, I think special teams is usually where they try to do it. I mean, I think there's also a lot of, I think that special teams players get a lot of, negative rep because, I mean, like, for instance,
I just don't think they get the...
Like, people always just see him fair catch the ball. But, like, I think they don't understand that if they didn't fair catch the ball, they would, like...
That's their head.
Yeah, they would be hit-sticked at, like... It'd basically be like getting hit by a truck at 60 miles an hour, right? Like, it would be rough.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, if they get an early break on the cornerback that's guarding the, like, gunners that
are
coming at you. They're moving at, like, 20 miles, like, 17 miles an hour. Like... They're moving at what vehicles are supposed to move at in school zones. Right at you.
And they're big and beefy, and they fully intend on hitting you, too. That's their job.
They make millions to take your head.
So, I mean, I think that this will overall make the kickoff experience for the NFL better. I mean, I think they're going to have to tinker with the rules to not just basically hard copy the UFL's rules, but I mean, I do know that the UFL and the XFL have the UFL and the NFL have a,
agreement.
Yeah, have an agreement to where the UFL is basically an experimental league for the NFL, so any new experimental technology the UFL will use first, and then if it works well in the UFL, the NFL will take it. Which, I mean, honestly, I think was a solid business move from Dwayne The Rock Johnson there, I ain't gonna lie to you. Man made his biggest competitor one of his largest friends.
I mean, yeah, can't beat him, join him.
Well, I mean, Caleb, like, if you think about it, like, the spring league, like, I mean, I don't know how Vince McMahon was trying to... I think Vince McMahon was trying to make an official, like, spring football league. But, I mean, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, when he took over the XFL, for now the UFL, he switched it up entirely. The goal of the XFL was a second chance league for players who didn't make it to the NFL out of college to go to the XFL and then play in the XFL. And then that way they have a... You know, a wider gap of a chance to get
for the NFL.
Yeah, so it's basically like Triple A baseball.
Right. Which I mean, I like. There's a spot for him there.
I mean, honestly, Caleb, do you know when the UFL starts? I'm kind of interested in the UFL.
I do not. I have not followed the UFL. I watched a couple games last year of it.
Well, last year wasn't as good as it's going to be this year, because last year the UFL was a thing and the AFL was the USFL was a thing. That's what it was. The USFL.
UFL season kicks off on Saturday, March 30th. So in
March 30th.
8 days.
Nice. But I think it'll be better now because I mean, before you had two spring leagues competing for already let's say B-grade players, considering they're not... I mean, they didn't make it to the NFL. So, I mean, you had two leagues that were... I mean, they were good quality, but could have been better quality.
Not like they're terrible.
Yeah,
like,
because they had to be fighting for... They were basically bidding on each other's players.
Right.
But when they merged, now you have more teams and all the players that were in the league. Like, now they are, you know... in one league. So now there's more of a competition base in the league.
Right.
It gives a wider range of players to draw from and a wider range of competition. More like the actual NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great merge. It really... Because if they didn't merge, they would have burnt each other down, I feel like. They will have both been competing for...
Well, I mean, that's what happened with the NFL and the AFL back in the day before they merged to just become the NFL. I mean, they were... I mean, what's his name? Joe Montana, I think it was Joe Montana, he literally switched entire football leagues because the other league paid him hundreds of millions of dollars. So he was like, what do I want to play for this one for? So they ended up just basically doing that, and they were going to a downward spiral of trying to bankrupt themselves to get the best players so people would watch. So then they merged, and all of a sudden you have a super house of a football league.
But, I mean, the years evened it out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, originally the NFL would just dominate the AFL. Like, they had no... Actually, I think it was the other way around. I think the... No, I think the NFL was. Anyways, one of the two conferences was much better than the others, but it's definitely evened itself out a little bit over the years. I mean, the first ever... Hey, look at that. The first team to win a Super Bowl was the Packers. And I think the second team was the Packers as well.
I think you're right. I know that for a fact that they won the first one because it's the Lombardi Trophy.
I don't know that they named it the Lombardi Trophy because he won his first Super Bowl. I think it was just because of his quote-unquote contributions to the game of football.
But back to free agency. Jerry Jeudy contract got extended with the Browns. A 3-year extension worth up to $58 million with 41 guaranteed.
Sorry, I was reading the Vince Lombardi thing, and so turns out they changed it. They named it after former Green Bay Packers head coach Vince Lombardi, who died of cancer in 1970. Led the Packers to their first two Super Bowl wins before passing away, and the decision was made by the NFL to honor his legacy. As Lombardi once said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
I mean, that's the reason why you suit up. It is everything. Like,
there ain't no reason to play if you ain't going out there to win. But all right, sorry. Continue with what you were saying.
But Jerry Jeudy agreed to a 3-year extension worth up to $58 million with the Browns, and 41 of it is guaranteed.
4 years?
Three.
3 years, $48 million guaranteed?
41. 58 total if he hits all the incentives.
That's a lot of money, bub. I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, like, Jerry Jeudy hasn't been nearly what people thought he was going to be in the NFL.
I know. He's been averaging 700 yards roughly per season.
So, I mean, I don't know why you would pay that man that much money. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against Jerry Jeudy. I actually like him. Just, I don't know that you should be paying him almost $12 million a year to play football. When he's proven he could be a solid depth receiver. But, I mean,
he's still got some Amari Cooper. I mean, granted, you wouldn't be paying him.
I mean, I don't know. I think also I will cut him some slack because he didn't really have a quarterback at all. Russell Wilson was mainly targeting Cortland Sutton. Like, also, like, K.J. Hamler was opening the touchdown, like, multiple times throughout the year, but just Russell Wilson never looked at K.J. Hamler.
Had that tunnel vision.
Yeah, he really was just staring down Cortland Sutton. I think he just got used to doing that with DK over at the Seahawks. So, I mean, I think that it could be better now that he has, that they might have a quarterback.
I mean, yeah. I mean, who'd the Browns get? I know they have Deshaun Watson, who's probably going to be starting, but the Browns picked up another quarterback in free agency.
Was it not Jameis Winston?
It might, yeah.
You know, Jameis Winston is one of the most interesting one of the most interesting NFL players to me for the sheer fact that the man started at the Buccaneers and threw for 30 touchdowns for 33 interceptions. He almost threw a 1-for-1 ratio. And then he got cut. And honestly, I was kind of sad. I wish Jameis Winston got more of a chance. I understand he threw 33 picks, but like, I mean, the system that Andy Dalton was running at the time was it's a rough system to learn for some peoples.
I feel like the only reason why they cut him was because that's when they brought in Tom Brady. That
is true, but I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like a which came first, the chicken or the egg thing. Do you think they got Tom Brady because they cut Jameis Winston and that opened up a quarterback position for when Tom Brady left, or do you think they thought Tom Brady was going to leave so they cut Jameis Winston?
I think they saw Tom Brady hit the free agency and said, it's time to get Tom Brady, and then they got Tom Brady.
But, I mean, if that was the case, wouldn't you think they would sign Tom Brady first? Like, officially get Tom Brady to the roster before cutting him? That way you still have a quarterback if Tom Brady goes to a different team.
Did they not?
I'm not sure. I thought they cut Jameis Winston before they signed Tom Brady, but I could be wrong. I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, either way, I do know that year everybody was like, Tom Brady's either retiring or he's going to or he's hitting free agency. Nobody thought he was coming back to the Patriots.
Right, because midway through the season, there was already talks of him selling his house in Foxborough, and then there was talks of him going to the 49ers because he grew up being a 49ers fan.
As did Aaron Rodgers.
And then the Bucks came along, and he couldn't say no to that Bucks team.
I mean, I think that was fair. I mean, they had a team at the time.
Yeah. A young Mike Evans. Well, I wouldn't say young, but
just coming off of his prime.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you had Mike Evans. You had Chris Godwin, who was still at the time was, I mean, he was definitely solid. I mean, he was
better than what he is now.
I mean, I think Chris Godwin was one of those. I mean, I think Chris Godwin was one of those wide receivers who was always too good to be a wide receiver too.
He's the T. Higgins.
Yeah, he really is. He's just too good to be a wide receiver too, but at the same time, he's not quite good enough to be a wide receiver one.
He's like T. Higgins, Tyler Lockett, like those types of players.
They're always going to be solid for supporting cast for wide receivers, but like, when they are the wide receiver that has to get the double coverage and things like that, they just can't pull it off. I've seen T. Higgins do it before, though. I'll give T. Higgins more credit than I will
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett. Or
Chris Godwin.
Yeah, Chris Godwin. Yeah. Chris Godwin was more so just a speedster. he was never really all about that. I mean, Mike Evans was obviously more of the contested catch person.
Right, the physical, yeah. Come down 50-50 ball.
I think that's why Jameis Winston threw for almost 50-50.
I mean, it's also the scheme of that offense at the time. It was a bunch of deep balls. I think...
Well, I mean, it's because, I mean, Jameis Winston does have an arm, I'll give you that. And everybody has known about Jameis Winston's arm since he came out of college. I think that was one of his main attracting points. So then all of a sudden, you just took took this kid and said, look, bub, 80-yard passes every time. Obviously not 80-yard passes, but... I mean, I can see the issue with that, especially when, like... I mean, I don't know why Chris Godwin... I don't know how Chris Godwin didn't get open more often, if I'm being honest with you. I think he almost had a bit of a tunnel vision there, maybe. Because, like, I remember when he was at the Buccaneers, it was always... It always seemed like it was a 50-50 ball to Mike Evans.
Yeah.
And to Mike Evans' credit, he did pull him down about 50% of the time. So, he held true.
Yeah, he did. But that's... It just... That was two people fitting together well. And obviously, like, that's not going to work for a whole season. And that's where the picks came in. They were... The teams playing them just dropped back the safeties. And even the linebackers more went into, like, cover threes and not... They basically, like, played back rather than, like, trying to cover short, like, screens, flats to the running back.
What do you think about the NFL changing up how it's usually played?
I mean...
Like, in terms of, like, how... it used to be a pass-heavy league, predominantly, but now, all of a sudden, it's almost reverted back to a run-heavy league.
I mean, it's just the meta, or, like, what's working in the league, it's always just going to shift. It's the offense changing because the defense is changing. It's always going to be rotating, I feel like.
A merry-go-round.
Yeah. Like...
I mean, I think that's fair. I think it's almost like... funnily enough, it's almost like politics, in a sense. How people like to say that the American political system is a pendulum. It's always swinging. It swings right, and then it'll swing left. And I mean, it's kind of like that for football. I mean, the strategy never stays the same.
Right. And, like, you'll always bring back things that worked in the past that hasn't really worked in, like...
A lot of times they also just like will kind of like rework things,
right?
Like, shift things around a bit,
change up the schemes, like tight end.
Sometimes
schemes.
It's not the play. Sometimes it's like, the players on the play.
Right.
You're just not running the right ones.
I mean, if everyone does their job right on every play, it's a touchdown.
Fair enough, yeah.
Or at least a first down, you know? Like, if you're getting open. But.
I don't know. I'm almost more excited about how football is now than when we were smaller kids. I mean, the passing was always fun, but, like, it kind of got boring after a while. Because, like, it really was just, like, every so often check you'd see, down. Like, yeah, like, you'd see, like, one handoff. But then you had people who were, like, Dak Prescott's who Dak Prescott this year, I'll give him some credit, he played well. But, I mean, Dak Prescott back in the day would throw, like, I don't know, like, 40 passes a game, it seemed like, for, like, 100 yards, because all of them would be just small, like,
check downs.
Yeah, 2 or 3 yard check downs. I'd be like, bro. But then, like, I think that the bringing back the run game has added a more of a like a zest to it almost, because now they run the ball, but it's also they have play action. I mean, play action's always been there, but I think it's a lot more relevant now with they use a lot more motion than they used to, and they use a lot more false looks and things like that, yeah. To like disguise things, and it makes it neat. It's a lot more in-depth now than it used to be.
Right. It kind of went from checkers to chess. Like, it's just going in a more complex way.
It really is, especially when you have players like... This is actually one of my favorite things about the NFL. Like, so the Packers head coach is Matt LaFleur, and the head coach of the 49ers is Kyle Shanahan. And now Kyle Shanahan and... Kyle Shanahan and The head coach for the Packers can't think. Yeah, I know. I literally just said his name, too. And the head coach for the Packers both came from the same coaching tree. So when they play each other, it really is just like playing chess, because they both know what each other wants to do. They just have to find a way to outwork the other one and who's doing what.
Right.
Because they both run the same scheme, essentially. I mean, the only difference is, I mean nothing, honestly. They don't have a real difference. I mean, the 49ers have, I would say, more power names, but the Packers are just young right now.
Right. And that's, like, I feel like you guys are going to take off. Maybe not this year, but in the next 3 years, I feel like you guys will really be a name out there for contending.
Well, I mean, Dontavian Wicks ended up being a wide receiver 2 talent. We drafted him later. And same thing with Jaden Reed. We drafted him in the second round, but he first round prospect for sure. But with 25 seconds left here or so in the time, I would like to say thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed. The NFL free agency has been happening this year. There's always a lot of moves that are being done. But yeah, Gabe, you have any last words here in the last 10 seconds?
No.
Alrighty. Thank you guys. Join us here next week, and it'll be good. See ya.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?